This is VK6ARN, News West. We are a community organisation and we've been serving up the best amateur radio news in Australia since 1931. Hi, this is Clinton, VK6FCRC, and this is News West for the 29th of October, 2023. Now with the show.
Hi, I'm Steve, VK6SJ, with this week's episode of Did You Know? Going to Dayton Hamvention in Ohio, USA, has been on my bucket list for a decade or two. This year I needed to discuss a few things with Flex Radio and I wanted to expand the variety of products in the shop, so it seemed like the perfect chance to get those tasks done and also see what Dayton was about. Picking up some other work over there for another customer to help pay for the trip, as well as working for Flex while I was there, was icing on the cake, so there I was, ticking off one of my bucket list items. How to describe Dayton? 25 to 30,000 attendees, 157 vendors, including all the big radio manufacturers, including Kenwood, surprisingly, but also lots of the smaller vendors such as Buddy Pole and Heil and the like. The look and feel of the event was not dissimilar to the Perth Royal Show, but only runs for 2.5 days instead of 10. There were food trucks and stands dotted around the event, one hall exclusively for use as a forum, four buildings for commercial exhibitors and a large paddock full of flea market car boot style sellers. In fact, looking at the facility in Xenia, where the Dayton Hamvention is now run, the Claremont Showgrounds would make a nicer location with similar facilities, but probably more expensive. To give you an idea of the size of the market, though, there are 762,000 ham licenses in the USA, with just under 130,000 of them living in Ohio and its bordering states. In Australia, we have 19,500 licenses, and I think about 2,000 of them are in WA. There's a lot you can do with a market that size that's likely not going to happen here with our current population of hams. Still, if you scale down our population, a similar attendance should be in the order of 500, or 1 in 4 hams. Not sure off the top of my head how that compares to, say, Hamfest, but it's probably an appropriate amount. I might add that the USA has around twice as many hams per capita than in Australia. I wonder why that is. Looking at the Wyong Field Day that I've attended a number of times, it was a pretty good scaled-down copy of Hamvention, given the size of our market. Wyong typically has an area for forums, an area for commercial vendors, areas for car boot sales, and a few options for food. Wyong has the advantage of a far larger potential audience than we have here in WA. Makes me wonder what could be done if our amateur population, or rather the target audience of an event, was bigger, what could we do? If we expanded the interest of an event to the recreational CB and HF sectors, it would probably be catering to a potential audience of around 5 times the amateur population, so might end up with an attendance of more than 1,000. This could possibly allow us to run a forum in a separate room. They just don't work otherwise, in my opinion. And the size of the market would attract more vendors. It would also bring a bunch of people with similar interests into contact with amateur radio, which would almost certainly bolster our ranks. The forums tied in with Hamfests have been tried to varying rates of success. I think Perth Tech is by far the best example of the forum idea, but they typically don't cater for the vendor or flea market crowd. NCRG and PARG have both tried the forum idea in various forms with limited success, but both, as well as Hagfest, do a great job for vendors and anyone else wanting to sell stuff. If we catered to a larger potential audience, i.e. a combined audience from amateur radio CB and the recreational HF sectors, we get more manufacturers lining up to be a part of the event, which would also benefit our community in terms of more variety of goods on sale, more sponsorship of events, better raffle prizes, and a larger variety of forum topics. This isn't a criticism of our local events. We have great events here in Perth. While NCRG Hamfest has always been the premier event, Hagfest and Pargfest have lately been giving them a big run for their money. This competition's great for all of us as hams attending the event and the clubs running the event having to compete for attendance. So, next club meeting, challenge the committee to look further afield, not only for the things to do at your event, but also the size of the audience you might cater for. Better still, get involved yourself. Think about how your event might be attractive to more vendors, which will in turn drive up attendance numbers and generate more income for your club. Well, thanks for listening again. This is Steve, AK6SJ, with another episode of Did You Know?
If you happen to listen to the right part of the 80 metre band on a Tuesday evening, you might hear something that sounds like this. The CQQRS net has been running every single Tuesday for the last 2 years and has been unbelievably popular. There are usually half a dozen, and a couple of times up to 18 stations, popping in and out when they can over the 4 or 5 hours. The aim is to encourage new CW operators to have a go at slow CW in a safe and really friendly environment, where slow speed and lots of mistakes are par for the course. It's all about having a go, starting with a basic call sign and RST exchange, then over time getting better and better. The net also attracts its fair share of old timers who enjoy helping others to have a go or just to enjoy the banter. So this might be just the opportunity you've been waiting for to have a go at transmitting on CW, or perhaps just to stop the contacts rusting up on your key. Doesn't matter whether you're brand new to the code or if you're an old timer who would like to have a bit of fun and help encourage new operators by having simple, safe QSOs at their speed, we'd love to have you join in. The net starts at 0900 Zulu every Tuesday on 80 metres between 3540 and 3570 kHz, and there's stations in the west, east and in between listening out for your CQQRS call. For more information and to receive our weekly CQQRS RagChew newsletter, contact me, Mark, VK6QI, via my email address on qrz.com, or you can email me direct, mark.bosma@icloud.com. That is mark.bosma@icloud.com. Too much switch mode power supply hash on 80 metres? This might be the incentive to do something about it. With a cheap noise canceller costing less than $100, 80 metres could be easier than you think. So once again, Tuesdays from 0900 Zulu until late, between 3540 kHz and 3570 kHz. Cheers from Mark, VK2KI and VK6QI.
This is VK6ARN, and you're listening to News West.
Foundations of Amateur Radio. After recently talking about noise, today I want to discuss gain, specifically antenna gain. When you say that your antenna has 18 dBi gain, what does that mean? This entire discussion starts with an isotropic radiator or antenna. It's often described as the perfect antenna, but rarely is there any description on how that actually works, so I'd like to start there. Before we dig in too much, it's worth remembering that an isotropic antenna is a thought experiment. It cannot physically exist, but it's a useful tool for comparing antennas. Antennas have a physical size. There's often a direct relationship between the size of the antenna and the frequencies for which it works best. A lower frequency means a longer wavelength and corresponding large antenna to handle that radio frequency. In contrast, an isotropic antenna is infinitesimally small and responds equally well for all frequencies. Similarly, unlike an actual antenna, an isotropic antenna is symmetric in all directions. That is, there's no difference between the back or the front, the top or the bottom, the left or the right. You can position an isotropic antenna in any orientation, and there's no difference. Not just no detectable difference, no actual difference. The radiation pattern is a perfect sphere. As I said, the isotropic antenna is an imaginary, let's call it ideal antenna, that's used as the base reference to measure all antennas against. When you use the word gain in relation to an antenna, you're using the unit dBi, and in doing so, you're comparing the antenna against this imaginary perfect isotropic antenna. When you see that the gain of an antenna is 2.15 dBi, you're saying that this antenna performs better than the isotropic antenna and does so by 2.15 dB. There's one minor detail missing in that statement. The full statement, often completely overlooked, is that this antenna performs better than the isotropic antenna and does so by 2.15 dB in some directions, but not all. Said differently, antenna gain comes from distorting the ideal perfect sphere into different shapes. For example, the 2.15 dBi gain of a horizontal dipole antenna distorts into a squashed donut on its side. In other words, there are directions where a dipole radiates better and has an increased gain when compared to an isotropic antenna. But there are also directions where it radiates worse, much worse, if at all. In the case of a dipole, it receives best from the side and worst in line with the antenna. And I'll point out that the donut is also an idealized shape that in turn gets distorted by proximity to other objects, like the ground. Consider that a dipole has 2.15 dBi gain over an isotropic antenna. This means that for some directions the gain is increased, and for some directions it's decreased, perhaps even eliminated. In other words, in some direction the antenna amplifies the signal, and in other directions it attenuates the signal, potentially even to zero at a so-called null in an antenna radiation pattern. As I've said before, an antenna receives a combination of both wanted signal and unwanted noise. For an isotropic antenna, all signals, from any direction, both wanted and unwanted, are treated the same. This is not true for an antenna that has gain. Consider an antenna that exhibits gain in one specific direction, and loss in all other directions. If you were to point that antenna at a wanted signal, the incoming signal would be amplified in that direction and attenuated in all other directions. If noise comes from all directions equally, most of the noise would be attenuated, and only a little bit of noise coming from the same direction as the wanted signal is amplified. Overall, this means that the total amount of incoming noise is reduced in comparison to the wanted signal. In other words, the noise floor is reduced and the signal level is increased, making the signal more audible above the noise. This means that the impact of antenna gain is that the signal-to-noise ratio is improved for an incoming signal in comparison to local noise. Notice also that the antenna gain works in multiple ways. It serves to improve the local signal-to-noise ratio by attenuating noise and amplifying a wanted signal, but it also increases the transmitted signal that's sent towards the other station. Both affect your station's performance, but do so at different sides of the communication link. And because we are talking about two separate signals, an incoming one and an outgoing one, the optimal direction might not be the same for both. So, now what do you think the impact might be of adding an 18 dBi Yagi to your station? I also have a supplementary question. If a commercial antenna is compared with the dipole, using the dBd unit, is the antenna compared to the entire radiation pattern of a dipole, and if so, at what height from what type of ground? And is that a useful comparison, or hiding the true performance of such an antenna? I'm Ono, Victor Kilo 6, Foxtrot Lima, Alpha Bravo.
Good morning, this is Roy, VK6XY Victor, with this week's hotline, the 29th of October 2023. Today I have the following for you. Tim, VK6Echo India is looking for some cable, 20 metres thereabouts, of Lima Mike Romeo 240. If you would have some lying about, Tim would like to hear from you. That's VK6Echo India. His email address, VK6EchoIndia@bigpond.com. If you can help him with that, Lima Mike Romeo 240, coaxial cable, 20 metres required. Next item for sale is a Tango Sierra 590 Sierra Kenwood transceiver with a Tango Sierra power supply. $1,550 is the asking price for that. There's also a Yaesu Fox Tango 2000 200 watt transceiver. $1,550 for that also. There's a Fox Papa 8 extension speaker. $150 for that. And there's also a Daiwa 5204 antenna switch. 4-port model, $50. There's a Revox Whiskey 5000 SWR bridge, 1.8 to 60 megs, $80. There's a Fox Tango 200 transceiver with Fox Papa 200 power supply, $150 the pair. And there's an MFJ 259 Bravo antenna analyzer, $150. There's a TH3 Mark III high-gain tri-band antenna, negotiable price on that. There's also a rotator, a Charlie Delta Romeo Ham M, negotiable. There's a tubular 40-foot telescopic self-supporting mast, negotiable price. Homebrew HF amplifier deck set up for a 4-1000GG tube, negotiable. And you may contact Nora Jackson on behalf of her Silent Key husband between the hours of 10 and 12 today. And the mobile number is 043-835-2667. That's 043-835-2667. Or the landline is 63635350. Again, 63635350. Next item comes from Stephen, handling his father's estate. VK6 uniform tango still has a whole lot of transceivers and paraphernalia, spare parts, valves, and generators and power supplies. Too much to mention here. But if you would like to give him a call or send him an email, his email address is stephentango@westnet.com.au. I spell Sierra Tango Echo Papa Hotel Echo November Tango at westnet.com.au. Or the mobile number 0401 804 166, 0401 804 166. VK6 Alpha Delta India still has a microphone, a amplified desk microphone, $50. The desk microphone's not amplified, but the audio is. It's a realistic audio amplified audio desk microphone for sale, $50. And you may contact Barry. You may contact Barry, VK6 Alpha Delta India. His email address is bravo.juliet.burns, that's Bravo Uniform Romeo November Sierra, at bigpond.com. bravo.juliet.burns at bigpond.com. That's all I have for you today. And if you have any ideas for next week, please contact me. The address, roy.watkins@bigpond.com. Roy.watkins@bigpond.com. Thank you once again for listening. 7-3.
Hi there, I'm Clinton, VK6FCIC, and I'd like to thank our News West team of volunteers and broadcasters each week, and those regularly submitting content each week. I'd also like to thank our readers and you for listening. Please stand by now for callbacks after the ident, or if nobody is taking callbacks, please fill out the form on the VK6.net website so we know how many people are listening or reading News West each week.